On behalf of Admiral Luciano Conde, which is the Chief Operating Officer of the company, will be presenting. We're going, so therefore, from Denmark to Spain. And the last speaker talked about pressures in drug pricing. I think you guys have probably felt this, the brunt of this, particularly in Spain. So we look forward to hearing not only about the full story of Almirall and your revenue drivers, et cetera, going forward, but also some perspective, I'm sure, that you'll give us on the issues of drug reform, pricing reform, et cetera. So without further ado, Luciano, please present Almirall. I do refer you to the disclosures at the back of the room. Thank you.
So hello, good morning. Thank you for your presence here today. I will try to guide you during around 15 minutes on the highlights of the company, and then we will go into a questions and answer session. So I will start with the history of the company. I will introduce myself. I'm Luciano Conde. I'm the CEO of the Almirall. I'm a pharmacist by career, an immunologist. I did an MBA at the SADE. I've been working in the industry for 29 years. I started as a researcher, and then I worked for Hoffmann La Roche for 15 years, moved to Pharmitalia, then to Pharmacia, and then since 14 years ago, I've been working for Almirall, always heading the commercial operations of the company. So Almirall is a company that was created in 1943, has been a Spanish company for many years. It's the first Spanish company in terms of research in R&D in Spain, and actually is the number three by overall investment in R&D in all the sectors in Spain. We are an R&D-based company, so we are a branded pharmaceutical company. And since 2001, we started to expand internationally. We have expanded to 11 countries directly, and we have positioned our products through partnership with third parties in over 70 countries. We have three R&D centers. One is based, and the main R&D center is based on Spain, in Barcelona, very nearby, well, actually in a small town called San Feliu, where we do discovery and also the development of respiratory and inflammatory diseases. While we have two centers in Germany, one of them is focused on dermatology, is in Rheinbeck, near Hamburg, and the other one is in Bad Homburg, near Frankfurt, and there we have a center purely specialized in inhalation devices, inhalation technology. Regarding manufacturing, we have been concentrating our manufacturing facilities. We have five manufacturing plants in 2009 as a continuous follow-up and concentration on improving our cost of goods. We have in the process to close two of those manufacturing plants will be completed, we hope, by the end of 2011. Our business model and our business activity has always been based on partnership. We have been very successful both in licensing products in the past, mainly for Spain, but also out-licensing our products outside. Today, around 45% of our turnover come from our own products, let's say for products coming from our own R&D, and around 55% are coming from in-licensing agreements, mainly in Spain, but not exclusively in Spain. These agreements are also not purely traditional licensing agreements, but in some cases are also part of a quid pro quo. So you could say a part of these in-licensing products are also coming from, let's say, from our own research in a way. This is more or less around 15% of the overall 55%. We have been very focused in licensing compounds in Europe, both for Spain and also for other territories. And our most recent, let's say, in-licensing agreements have been with Merck, Charbonneau for sitagliptin in Spain. We have also in-licensed silodosin, which we expect to introduce towards the end of this year in the Spanish market from Recordati. That's a product for BPH. And then we have in-licensed two products for pan-European region. One of them is Sativex. Sativex is a cannabinoid antagonist and is indicated for the treatment of spasticity in multiple sclerosis and is in the final process to be approved in Spain, actually in the bureaucratic path of the approval, the signature of papers and so. and then we will have to apply for, obviously, price and reimbursement. And we intend to go into the mutual recognition process immediately after the technical approval is achieved. And also, we have in-licensed a product from Ironwood, linaclotide, a product indicated for two different uses. One of them is the inflammatory bowel syndrome with constipation, which we are hoping to have results of phase 3 by the end of this year. And the other indication is chronic constipation, where the results have been very encouraging and very positive. On top of that, we have recently announced the in-licensing of a product from Basilea Pharmaceuticals that is called Toctino for certain territories in Spain. This is, in Europe. This is obviously very complementary with our current derma presence, where we have been making a big effort in the last years to develop. Well, our our key strategic directions have been, more or less the same since we started the process to internationalize the organization. We try to maintain our presence in Spain. Obviously, in Spain, we have a very high market share, 5.4%, and we come to realize some years ago that this was not going to be possible to expand dramatically, and that's why we started the international expansion. We have achieved this successfully. We have managed to maintain our market share in Spain, and actually our growth has come mainly from the international evolution of our sales, which today represent, as before, around 42% of our sales, and which have been growing dramatically in the last years. We have also keep our investment in R&D. As I said before, we are an R&D-based company, and we have keeping the investment in this area. Obviously, this is linked to the number of products in phase 3. The more products you have in phase 3, the highest is your expenditure in R&D. So we are keeping the expenditure at a control level, and we have now the highest number of products in clinical development we have had in the history of our company, which is 13. Regarding the financial results, we have had, solid financial results in the first quarter of the year. We are on track of what we promised in the guidance that we issued at the end of last year. So we have the sales on track. Normalized net income was ahead of guidance, plus 2%. We have, as you are probably aware, debt-free. So we are basically, during this year, we'll be in a positive net cash position. And we are achieving this through obviously having a very good cash flow, but also through keeping a very strict discipline in cost. We are reducing the SG&A in the first quarter of the year by minus 12%, which comes as a result of a very strict discipline and trimming organizations whenever we think that is not required this effort. Also, I would like to make emphasis on this particular part of our abilities. As I said before, partnership for us is a way of life because, obviously, in the past, we were very small. We were only in Spain. By this, we need to take into consideration two elements. If we want to nurture our sales line, we need to in-license products because otherwise, from our own R&D, we did not generate enough products to maintain our business. But also, at the same time, we need to partner our products outside of Spain in order to be able to capitalize and to maximize the value of those products. So this is a snapshot of some of the activities that we have done in the last years, and this includes everything from licensing in, acquisitions, partnering, and divestments. And we continue to keep looking at this actively because we have a strong balance sheet which would allow us to continue with these activities. But at the same time, I would like to stress the fact that we do not only look at the business as an accretive thing, but also when we think that we have products or activities that do not fit with our strategic goals, we divest. And this has happened in the last year with some products that we considered that were non-core, but it's also happened before when we divested, some oncological business that we did come to the conclusion that from a strategic point of view did not fit with our priorities long-term. We have, as I said before, the most promising pipeline in the history of the company, with 13 compounds in clinical development. During this year, we have developing and we are providing with guidance and with strong results for our respiratory franchise. We expect some results of our combo towards the end of the year. Also, Clira phase 3 would be finished towards the end of the year or beginning of next year. It's not yet 100% clear. And also for the LABA, we have just recently issued some data of the ATS in the U.S. So we're making progress with our respiratory franchise. Also, as I mentioned before, with Sativex, we are awaiting for the approval in Spain. The product has been already approved and actually introduced in the U.K. Last week by Bayer, which is the partner for the U.K. for the product. And immediately after getting approval in Spain, we will start the mutual recognition procedure, expanding the product towards the other countries. This is for multiple sclerosis and spasticity multiple sclerosis, sorry. The product is also being developed by Otsuka Pharmaceuticals in partnership with GW for oncological pains, and we keep the right for Europe for this indication as well. Regarding dermatology, the projects are progressing more or less as planned, including the products, let's say, filed, as well as the products in development. And also with linaclotide, I think that we are waiting anxiously for the results of the phase 3 of the IBS-C, which are due, as I said before, in the last quarter of this year. This will obviously provide us with a very powerful asset because there is not treatment today for the patient with this pathology. During this year, we have quite a powerful news flow. Okay, the first part, I think you already, the quarter 2010, you have already probably seen because we have been issuing press releases. But for the rest of the year, I think it's very important the respiratory results because the phase 2B results of the combination of aclidinium with formoterol will be published. I would like to highlight that although Eclira was delayed following the phase 3 results of once daily and we move it into twice daily, as you're probably aware, this has not been the case with the combo. The combo dates remain the same as were originally planned. For Eclira, in the phase 3 data, we expected to have it towards the end of the year, beginning of next year, depending on how the patient's evolution shows and the time required to compile the information and to start producing the data for filing the product. And for linaclotide, we expect also the results in the last quarter of the year. So quite a powerful news flow. And in regarding the dermatology, we expect also the approval of the Actikerall towards the end of this year, beginning of next year. So how do we see Almirall as an investment case? I think we have solid fundamentals in the business. We have a well-established business with a solid branded portfolio. We are now present in the major countries in Europe, so in the five biggest countries in Europe, so which was one of our strategic goals in order to be able to capitalize our pipeline. And we have a very solid and strong cash flow generation and balance sheet. Also, we have the opportunity to materialize the pipeline and bring this upside into our case because we have the broadest and deepest pipeline. Eclira franchise, respiratory is a very promising area, particularly in COPD. And LABA, which the results were published, first results were published in ATS. And obviously we have Genuair, and we continue to explore opportunities to leverage this asset. And also we continue and we have the power to look for opportunities and expand our presence in other with other products or with other acquisitions in areas which are complementary to our geographic or therapeutic focus or with both with licenses and acquisitions. And regarding 2010, I will just reiterate the guidance that we have issued recently. As you know, in Spain, there were certain measures taken by the government. There was a first action that was taken in March, after which we issued guidance saying that based upon certain changes in our portfolio, we reiterated the initial guidance. But unfortunately, in the package of measures that the Spanish authorities committed with the European Union in order to balance their accounts, they include an unexpected, I must say, proposal to cut the prices of pharmaceutical products by 7.5%. This, let's say, this has been transferred or transformed into a discount, so it's not a price cut. Theoretically, temporary discount, but we will see how this works out. And let's say, as a consequence of that, we expect that we issue a new guidance as soon as we were more or less aware of the content of the decree of the government. And we expect that sales and normalized net income will decline by mid-single digits in 2010 as compared with 2009. So obviously we are reinforcing even further our cost containment activities, which were already ongoing, but we are trying to even accelerate them more whenever possible. And we have certain objectives towards the end of the year. We continue to look for partnering key pipeline products, particularly in Japan. So this is our main priority by the time being. We continue to pursue in-licensing opportunities, as shown by Toctino in-license, but it's not the only one that we are looking at. And this, we are continuing to evaluate selected acquisitions, which somehow now we realize that some other companies that in the past were less prone to look and discuss about these possibilities are now a little bit more open. And with this, I will jump into questions and answers.
Thank you, Luciano. Help us potentially get back on track on any questions from you? Let's start with...
What do you mean about Spain? Sorry, because I have allergy. I don't think it's very good. So apologies, huh? Well, you know, the business that we have in Spain is a complex business because it's formed by many products. And so it's, we obviously normally see the most visible ones that in the particular case of atorvastatin is affected, let's say, by these measures of the government, and this is one of the biggest products that we have. We also have other businesses there that are much more or less sensitive to this kind of measures by authorities because, for instance, in Spain, we have around 80 million sales of OTC products that are never discussed or commented, which are very stable and actually are growing by 3-4%, even in a very negative economic environment. And because OTC products normally this year, or the OTC companies are being affected by, let's say, flat or even declining sales, we're still managing to make it grow. We have also some, let's say, old products that have no generics, and that we believe that it would be difficult that they have it because the prices are low. So this also provides us a very stable base. And let's say the traditional products, or less, the more important products, they are declining, and we hope that they will decline. We build this in our models, and actually we normally build the most aggressive, let's say, or conservative, if you want to say it, options. And let's say we have, for instance, in the guidance for 2010, we have assumed that the price of atorvastatin will be cut by 50%. It's not yet clear that this would be the case, because although the general statements have been issued, the way to apply it is not yet clear. And they are working and they are discussing and they come with proposals, we reject, we negotiate, not us, I mean the industry in general. So it's not yet 100% clear how these cuts will be applied, or in the particular case of our product, atorvastatin, if the cut will be 50% or less. So, however, in our, let's say, estimation, we are assuming that it would be 50%. So when we issue guidance, we take a conservative approach. We are not disclosing guidance for 2011 because actually we don't know. In many cases, we still don't know how this will impact us depending on how the reglement is developed. So we know that we will have these six 6.5% 6.75% discount that actually translate into a 6.5 on the reimbursed products, which are not all our products. So you have to remember this, that not all our products are reimbursed. Some of the products are OTC, so they are not affected by the 6.5. The 7.5, this only affects, let's say, only affects the products that are reimbursed by the central government. So we have certain products that are out of that. And on top of that, let's say we have products that are growing. On top of that, products that are declining. So we are introducing now, we have introduced very recently, as you are probably aware, sitagliptin in Spain, which is growing very nicely. And at the same time, we are planning to introduce some other products before the end of the year, beginning of next year. So the situation for the base business, obviously, is going to be tighter than before, not only in Spain, because it's not just a particularity of Spain. Spain maybe has been more vocal about this, but when you start looking about around Europe, most authorities are taking measures to reduce expenditure in healthcare. And we will issue guidance about the future as soon as we can understand how this is going to impact us. But by the time being, we cannot tell you exactly how this is going to affect us 2011, 2012, 2013.
So, just to carry on that theme, do you think there's any discussion that they may increase the rebate for 2011-2012, or if they just keep it at 7.5, then you've got that flat line, there's a new base?
Frankly speaking, we don't know. But because as you are probably, we did have certain agreements with the government that they did not respect it because obviously they are under certain pressure. So I think this authorities taking further measures or not, you know, will depend on the evolution of the economy and other factors that are, let's say, are beyond our control. Having said so, the Spanish industry is now making very vocal cuts and reduction in R&D in Spain, which is obviously not
what they want.
So maybe they have underestimated some of the actions that the industry could take, like the Greek authorities did with certain activities. You know?
Have they frozen prices also, like Germans have? Germans have frozen prices for 3 years.
Unfortunately, you know, in Spain there is no price freedom. Your prices, once they are fixed by the government, can only normally go in one direction, which is down.
Right. And last question that I've got anyway, I'll come in, is France. Are you seeing anything there?
In France?
Yes.
By the time being, the French authorities have been very prudent, I would say. I mean, they are announcing additional savings, but very minimal. And this has been negotiated with the LEM, and apparently everything is under control. Having said so, you never know. You know, in the current environment, I think to make commitments or promises about authorities' behavior, I think is very difficult.
Sure. Last question.
Announced the pricing for
Sativec
yesterday at $11 a day.
What was your
reaction to that? Very positive. And if I'm not wrong, your current thinking for peak sales for Sativec in
multiple sclerosis was $40 million. Between $35 to $40 million.
And does that pricing announcement change your thinking?
This pricing announcement is slightly above what we use in our estimations.